if that's truly in our hearts, then that's who you will see again. And
right.
I just know he's faithful. I think the musicians will enjoy the song service, the special service.
Special.
So just good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Amen. There's nothing like truth. You know, the scripture said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It didn't say it set you free, but it will make you free.
Right.
Amen. We sung the songs there a little while ago about home silence being in prison that night. They were in prison, but yet they were free.
Yeah.
Amen. And so the truth will make you free. And there's nothing like knowing truth and just creates such a joy in our hearts to know that we walk in light. And so, you know, the scripture lets us know that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes, amen.
If you have no joy, you have no strength.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. If you really believe what you believe, then it does something for you.
Yeah.
And so we just happy to be in the house of the Lord with you today and appreciate the cooler weather that the Lord has allowed us to enjoy. And I'm sure that each of you have enjoyed that also. I think it was still in the 80s, which we would, going into summer, would think that's pretty warm, but after what we had yesterday, felt really, really good. It felt like a perfect summer day, and so we really appreciate that, and I think the Lord's providing that for us again today. Amen. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I want to title this today, Why Did God Send an End Time Message? Why did God send an end time message? I believe that as Christians, you know, we are to be on a pathway of growing. We don't ever want to just level off, because when you're not growing, you're becoming stagnant. You know, the prophet said, you know, that we have to paddle against the current, you know. He said, it seems like you're not making much distance, you know, because you're going against the currents of the world that's contrary to the gospel. He said, but stop rowing just for a little bit. Watch how fast you go the other direction. And so we don't want to be stagnant. And I believe as believers, if we're really on fire for the Lord, we're hungry. And we have questions. We want to know. We're not satisfied just, well, you know, we want to know. We want to know what's next. We want to know more about our Lord.
Right.
I sing that song. I want to know more about my Lord. And so this morning, why did God send an end time message? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 29. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, they weren't used to hearing this kind of talk.
Right?
Right. I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen.
Let's pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are, Lord, just to be in your house today and to be with those we love, those of like precious faith, those that, Lord, that you have brought together to walk this earth together.
Yes.
Lord, we are happy to have you as our captain, as our, as we spoke Wednesday night, our hero, Lord, the one that we look to, who has great achievements and great qualities that no one else had. And so, Lord, we look to you this morning and ask God that you break the bread of life to your children. Lord, I pray that you go out to each one, speak to every heart. I pray, Lord, that you would destroy any enemy, any spirit, thought, any kind of thing that would try and hinder. Lord, we know that your word is supreme, and we send it forth to drive back unbelief, to drive back evil things that would hinder. Lord, so that your children can sit in your presence today, hear your word, Lord, and make solid decisions based upon truth and not upon a lie or a fable or some man-made tradition.
Yes.
We ask, God, that you break the bread of life this morning, seal it away to the hearts of your children in such a way, Lord, that the enemy cannot come from this day forward and steal it from their hearts. Lord, we love you, and we know that everything in you is yea and amen. And we accept that this day as your provisions. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read a quote to you real quick. It's rather lengthy, but I want to do it just to get it out there. And we can build upon it later as the Holy Spirit would allow us. This comes from the Church Age book, a book that Brother Branham signed the first check for the printing of them. Amen. I'll throw that out there for those who try to say something else, that it's not his book. The Church Age book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And we must pay attention to these things as we go through them. I'm not going to try and rush. I'm not going to try and be long. But I want to emphasize each point as I feel the Holy Spirit would have me do it. And so sometimes you realize that it's time just to go ahead and step up into your position and do what you're supposed to do. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now remember this, the prophet says, Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts. We know what the book of Acts is. It's a record of the Holy Spirit in the early church accomplishing and doing the things that moving the gospel on further down the road in history. That's me saying that part. It's a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, making it Laodicean,
right?
Making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works. And those works were the attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word. Isn't that what he tries to do? Satan tries to do that? Try to say that word's not right. Try to destroy God's people and their testimony. It exposes Satan revealing his words right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get a true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be definitely thwarted today, as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Remember that? In the desert, Jesus used the word. Today, she will, just like that. Same way. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them.
Amen.
Remember, revelation, not book knowledge. Not just memorizing the scriptures or memorizing the quotes, but a revelation that strikes our hearts, that will make the difference. And so we know that the scripture tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so that being the case, that means that the word has to be believed. You cannot live by something you don't believe.
Right?
So if man's going to live, if you're going to live, it's by the word. Otherwise, you're not going to.
Right.
So, but you have to believe it. That means you don't fight it. You don't disagree with it. You have to believe it in order for it to take place in your life.
Right.
And so we have to believe it. And the word is a living word. He is the I am. So it's living. That means it's not the same. You know, my wife and I'll talk to her today, and today I'll say different things to her than what I said yesterday, because it's a different day.
Right.
But it's still me that she's talking to, right? And so it's a living word, a living message. It's moving, right? God is not a graven image. A graven image is just the same every day, and that's it. That's a tradition.
Right?
Just a tradition. We're just going to do the same thing today we always did. But God's not an idol. He's a living God.
Right.
So he moves and he changes and he unfolds greater things out of himself. And your experience today is greater today than it was yesterday. You know him more today than you did yesterday, right? You know him more because he's a living word, a moving, living gospel.
Right.
And so we read the scripture there where it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all sin.
Right.
So I'll emphasize this portion of the scripture there that we're reading by saying this: where is the Lord? Where the scripture answers it. Where is he?
Yeah.
He's in the light.
Yeah. Right.
Right? He's in the light. Well, light moves. Light changes.
Right?
Light moves. And so that's why the scripture says, if we walk in that light, that he's in.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Does anybody in this room think that you can be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ?
No.
I didn't see any hands go up.
No.
Do you believe you can be saved by not knowing him at all?
No.
You have to know him.
Right.
And so when the scripture says walk in that light as he is in there. If we do that, then we have fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
We say this, then we have fellowship with God and with his children, those of like precious faith.
Yeah.
Then, if we walk in that light, then we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. How do you want your sins forgiven?
Yeah.
Where are you going to get it? By walking in the light, which is a moving, living gospel.
Right?
Yeah. I say that because, like I said, we're not servant of God of yesterday that's just a graven image. We have to have life, moving, interacting. A Holy Spirit that moves around and goes from one heart to the next and from one life to another. Right? Moving on each one of us and bringing us together that we help one another, and the life of God is just moving and pulsating throughout the body.
Right?
Right. That's exactly what it is. And a church that doesn't have that's a dead church. Right? I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues and shout and all that, but you got to have that life moving among us.
Right.
And we individuals have to have that.
Yeah.
That has to be moving, that pulsating of the Holy Spirit, a heart of God beating with the life of God moving constantly in us.
Right?
Or we're dead people.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Yeah. And so we have to walk in that light. That's how we have access to him. He is in that light. You cannot access him without walking in that light.
Right.
Which God, in the scripture just read there, that this is the message we've told you from the beginning, that God is light.
Yeah.
Amen. God is that force that causes us to be able to see the pathway before us that we can walk.
Right.
He is that.
Amen.
He is that force.
Amen.
And so titling this, Why Would God Send, or Why Did God Send an End Time Message? And so I'll say this, is there really an end time message?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or is that just something that the Christian mind has created?
No.
I'll say that. Of course, I believe there is an end time message. And
yes.
I think I've told you this a few times about how that back whenever I was in, just come up in Pentecost, and we're here in this building, I was telling you about sitting over here about where Sister Hannah is, and about the man that came through that didn't know anything about, didn't know who I was, and he spoke over me, and he said, in 92, I will reveal to you my end time message. I didn't know there was such a thing. The next night, my wife come in, who didn't go to church with me, she came in right as service started. She came in and sat right behind me, sat right beside Aunt Mary. And after service, he went to her. I had been praying, God, send this man to her, because I wanted her to come into this way of believing. And I'd been praying that week, knowing these meetings were coming up. And he walked past me and come in, and I didn't know, but he went to her. And I saw that he stopped with her, and I leaned forward to say, oh, Lord, and I felt a hand reach up, and instantly I thought, well, the Lord has shown this man that this is my wife he's speaking to, that he reached up and touched me, and I turned my head, but there was no hand there, but I felt it. Mm-hmm. And he spoke some of the exact, I had it on tape, some of the same thing he spoke to me that night. He said, and you could tell that he had called her to be with me, mm-hmm. Right? But the whole thing, and I just realized this 2 weeks ago in the afternoon, because I think I mentioned this then, but I remembered 2 weeks ago in the afternoon, it just dawned on me. Why is it that I have to point to this message, that this is truth? It is because I believe that was an exact message from God telling me, I'm going to reveal to you my end time message. That is my calling, because I can see it. I can see it in the Bible. This is it. This is the chariot that has come down to rapture our body. I see it all over Scripture, and I can't testify to anything but that. And so that's why I preach the way I do.
Right.
Amen? And so, yes, there's an end time message. I believe that. And so when we read that Scripture there, the opening Scripture, the most striking, one of the most striking scriptures to me, that Jesus said that many in that day, that's this day,
right?
Many in that day shall say to me, Lord, we have cast out devils in your name. We have prophesied in thy name. We've done all these mighty works in thy name. And he will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And I've said this, it's not that he doesn't know, he knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's not that he doesn't know who they are, but if you look at the Scripture, how Adam knew his wife, or the different ones knew their wife, then you can see, you never let me put my seed within you, that you never brought forth children to me. I never knew you. Right?
Yeah.
And so, very striking. You mean to me that there could be people that had enough of God, because Satan can't cast out Satan.
No.
So they had enough of God to cast out devils. And Jesus would have said there, no, you didn't. That's a lie if they hadn't done that. So we know they had. They had. Right. When they said, we've cast out devils and we've done all these things, they had done it. They had done it underneath enough of his life, but yet they missed something. So much of something that he could say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Amen. Very striking. And so from this we can see that religious people can be wrong.
Right.
Religious people can be wrong. And just like Jesus said, he said, in vain you do worship me. How? Because you're teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, yes, rather than the word of God.
Right?
Right? Yep. And it's vain worship to work, say, oh, Lord Jesus, and be doing it underneath the banner of man-made doctrines.
Yeah. Right?
Man-made, in other words, teachings contrary to the Word.
Right.
We understand that.
Yes.
What we got to understand is how is Satan coming at me in my life every day trying to get me to do that? Trying to get me to live by traditions rather than by revelation.
Right.
That's what he tries to do.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus, 2,000 years ago, some of the striking places in the scriptures where I always thought, man, this is, people can be so wrapped up into religion and miss the things of God, where he was standing there, and it was on the Sabbath day, and there was a man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees and all the religious leaders there, they were there and despising him. And right in the midst of all of that, he healed this man on the Sabbath day. And they wanted to harm Jesus because he had done that. I thought, wow. You know, you come and make this man's withered hand come out. Well, they couldn't. But here was a man who could. Here was a man that on a Sabbath day could make somebody whole, and they had a problem with that.
Yeah.
Right? Satan's not a healer.
Right?
And I thought, man, that is so strange. You know, the scriptures let us know that if he had not done works among them that had not ever been done by anybody else, well, then they could, you know, they'd have maybe a possibility to question and say, well, but the fact that he had done things that nobody else had done, the scripture says this,
yeah,
right? Then their sin remained because they weren't believing it.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
They weren't believing it.
Right.
And so we know the story there was one who was born blind. And the scriptures ever said, hey, nobody ever born blind had been recovered their sight, but here one was. See, done stuff that nobody'd ever done. And so he opened this man's eyes, and the religious leaders, they call this man, and who did this to you? You know, how did this happen? And he tells them. Well, they can't have that because he's not part of our system. He's contrary to us. So they couldn't accept a testimony among them. Listen. The scripture said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony has the power, like I said to the other day, as
right.
bleach.
Right. right?
But these Pharisees could not receive that.
Yes.
He's standing right there as a testimony, undeniable testimonies of what God had done, and yet they refused to look at it and call it a devil
yes.
and everything else. And it was so funny in the scriptures there where when he's telling them that, and they said, well, we don't know where this man come from.
Yeah.
And this guy that wasn't a Pharisee, just a common person, all he knows was God healed him.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I don't know, but this is a strange thing here. Here you guys are as religious leaders. You want the whole world to think that if there's anything right about God, you're going to know it.
Uh-huh.
And here you are, and you act like that, and yet you don't know where this man come from, and he opened my eyes. Brother Bam's talking about that, and he's laughing about it, you know, chuckling. This guy knew more about him than all those Pharisees did.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking of how people can be religious and be wrong.
Right?
Right?
Man.
There, when the prophet talked about that scripture where it said, there, they crucified him, there. The most holy place supposed to be, which was in the world there, they, supposed to be the most holy people, crucified the worst death there could be, him, the most holy, righteous one that ever lived. There they crucified him. Man,
right.
Showing you that a religious people can be and often do miss God, even though, you know, Jesus said, hey, the time will come when they will put you to death and think they're doing God's service.
Yep. Right.
Bam! Right on top of the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right,
call it what it is.
Right,
right?
Amen.
Right on top of them, put you to death thinking they do God's service. Right, religious people wrong in what they're doing, in worshiping God in vain.
Right,
and wind up judged at the end, lost because of it. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Right.
And here's the thing. This goes all the way up to Pentecost. And I'll even say this, and probably into some message churches, some message people's lives.
Right?
So, Jesus goes on to say, and I'll touch on that here just a little bit, what I was about to say there. Jesus goes on when he's saying this here about, many will come to me and they'll say this, and I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. In the very next verse, he says, therefore, because of this, right? Therefore, then let men build their house upon a rock and not upon sand. A rock being revelation of the word, right? Let them build on that. Because and so, not on sand. And so, these people that at the end, which are religious and have enough of God to cast out devils and to do prophesy and do mighty things, Pentecost, right? Beyond Catholic, Luther, Wesley, and all the different ones, Baptists, beyond all, more of God, so much of God, they can cast out devils. Because they don't do that in those other churches, right? Prophesy. They don't do that over there in those other churches. Beyond all those religious things, all the way to what we would think, cream of the crop, all the way to the one that's the shot looks like wheat, but it's really not wheat. Uh-huh. All the way up to that.
Right.
Depart from me. Yeah. Right. So you find out what they missed. They missed something there.
Yeah.
They though they were religious, and even to that degree, they somehow failed to build upon the rock, the revelation of the Word of God.
Right.
Oh, they were acting out things from a revelation of a previous day, but they failed to keep moving with God. They failed to keep moving with the light. As the light kept moving, somehow they stopped as God went on. Amen. Well, they were doing Christian things, right? Casting out devils and having church services and great big meetings and all those things, and somehow missed it.
Yep.
Jesus said so. I don't know any other way to interpret that scripture. It explains itself. But I will tell you this. God vindicates it by bringing it to pass, and we've seen it.
Amen.
We've seen it, and we're seeing it. Amen. Greatest example that I know of not building upon a rock is the Catholic Church. Because the scripture says, now it doesn't name it Catholic, but we know from the identification of scriptures that's what it is.
Right.
But the scripture said that system comes from the bottomless pit.
Yep.
When you have a bottomless pit, that means there's no bottom to it. So if there's no bottom, there's no foundation. There's no rock, no revelation.
Right.
So as the prophet would say, and I've said it many times, there's almost nothing they have but scriptural. See, you can't build yourself on man's made teaching. You can't build your Christian experience on feelings and sensations and things like that. God can give you those things underneath the banner of truth, but you can't build on sensations. Here, let me put it this way. You cannot build on something Satan can imitate. Right? It has to be on something he can't touch, which takes it right into the midst of third pool.
Yeah.
No public showing. A secret place.
Yeah.
Right? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where it's you and him alone in that secret place and no one else is in there.
Exactly.
That's right. So they're not built upon the rock of revelation of the word. They don't believe anything in scripture. They come up with all this stuff like purgatory.
Yeah.
Right? It's not in the scriptures.
Nope.
Purgatory. The Bible says contrary. The Bible says as the way the tree lays when it falls, and that's the way it's going to lay. When a man, wood is humanity. When a tree falls, well, that's the way it lays. So a prophet comes along and says, guess what? Boom, when the tree lands, death does not change you. But they come on and tell you, well, if you'll pay the priest a little bit, if you'll do this or do that, well, then we can make that tree raise up and fall a different way. My goodness, how deceived can people get?
Right.
Even your own To me, even in your own conscience, you know that can't be right.
Right.
I think they know it's not right, but they get up into some belief system and they go with it.
Right.
And you know what? There has to be something, and they're telling them that's wrong, and they bypass it, or else at the end, God couldn't judge them. But we know he just said right there, I'll say to these different ones, depart from me.
Amen. Right.
So, you know, the Catholic Church is identified as the great whore, that woman Jezebel, right?
Right.
Church system that was typed by the woman Jezebel, that church system. And the scripture said she had daughters. We all been through that. We know what that is. That's Protestant right. churches, the hang to things that the Catholic Church yep. started, and there are denominational religions, and they're unfaithful to Christ the Word like the Catholic Church is, and they're guilty too.
Right.
And we know the scripture said that what their fate is going to be. They're going to die.
Right. Amen.
I will kill her children with death. I'm telling you the word, and we got people now doubting and saying, well, it don't really mean that, and you can be part of these other systems, still be saved. The word don't say that.
Right.
The word says, and that's all my plea is, believe the word. Believe what God has done in our day. That's all I'm asking the people to do. That's what I'm trying to do. Believe it.
Amen.
The word.
Yeah.
God proves it backwards, forward, history, everything.
Amen.
Proves that it's right.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Exactly.
And so, you see this. They have daughters. She has daughters. Amen. So, how could anybody, if that's how stringent it is, that even people who cast out devils and did all, if even they at the end, he says, depart from me, then how could anybody make it and be saved and be in that group that's not turned away? How could that be? And so, to me, the answer comes, it comes from many places, actually comes from the entire Bible, once you catch it and you see it. You remember how you had the pictures that have an animal kind of hidden in all the bushes and you're trying to find it? Everybody's like, yeah, it's right there. And you're looking and you look, and there might be, you might be a day. But once you finally see that animal, every time you pick that up, you see it just like that.
Right.
But the next guy might not. And that's this Bible. It has become a new book. And once it becomes the new book to you, then you see this revelation of Jesus Christ. You see the seventh seal. You see it through every place through Scripture.
Hallelujah.
Right? You see it. You know it's there.
Right.
Why? Because you see it.
Amen.
And so how could we escape and be able to do this? And so to me it's expressed in this quote that I just read there that and you have to understand Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Having God poured himself into Christ, and then Christ, when he went up and he came back down into his church, and in that New Testament, that Christ came into his church. He came into the true church, and because he came into the new church, then they were the continuation of the book of Acts. So really, you can look at the books of Acts, and you can see about Peter and the apostles and Paul but it goes on from there, and you can take that and then you can come over and you can start reading the seven church ages and see, well, you can read all the stories of Paul, which agrees with the book of Acts, okay, comes a parallel, but the history of the Holy Spirit in his church, in the true church, continue on the book of Acts. It was right on through seven church ages, right on up into our day. That's a why is it a continuation of the book of Acts? Is because the Holy Spirit is in that church, causing them to live out the things that he wants them to live timely, as he wants them to live it timely throughout the ages. That's right.
Right.
That's what makes them the book of Acts again. Right. That's what makes that tree put forth another branch at the end.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's all over the Bible. So, they are the continuation of the book of Acts, and because of that, Satan fights to keep the Holy Spirit out of the church because he knows that the Holy Spirit is in that church and they're going to do the book of Acts and God is going to show himself among them. So he has to stop these people from getting that Holy Ghost in them.
Right?
So he becomes the anti-Christ, an anti-spirit to combat the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He becomes an anti-Christ spirit.
Right.
John said it was already happening in their days.
Yeah.
He becomes that. And so Satan fights that by keeping them out of the light.
Right.
Because if you're in the light, you get access to that blood and to that spirit. And if you have that, he'll take care of everything else. Amen. He'll take care of everything else. And so the book of Revelation shows how Satan did this. It shows how that he by the Antichrist spirit, came in and defiled the church. He made it lukewarm, formal, powerless. And how his attempt to destroy God's people and discredit God's words, his attempt. And I will say it was a failed attempt.
Right.
Right? And so the book of Revelation exposes these things. The book of Revelation exposes these things that we're talking about. And so it exposes how Satan came in and caused a church to be lukewarm, caused a church to start living by traditions rather than by revelation.
Right.
And you know those kind of churches, when that's what they are, that's what they want to make converts to.
Right?
A church system that is not led by the Holy Spirit, they're not going to try and make converts to the next move of God.
No. Right.
They're only going to try and make converts to what they are, because that's all they've got. That's all they can do.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring and further our people further.
Amen.
He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can do that in your life. If you have questions and you want to grow in God, it comes from a life of the Holy Spirit quickening Amen. His word to
right.
you. Amen. And so the book of Revelation exposes these church systems, exposes a religious system. You remember how the prophet said that it's not going to be the drunkard and all those people. It's going to be the religious people at the end
right.
who are surprised when he says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Because the drunkards and all, they know that they didn't have it. But this bunch...
Man.
And remember, it's that bunch that's religious but away from God that he said, "I'll spew you out of my mouth."
Right.
Right? And so the book of Revelation exposes how Satan got in or made this formal powerless church system throughout the ages. And at the end, God is going to bring a revelation to expose all that. And as he does, I'll ask you this. As he begins to expose that,
right.
What do you think the opinion of the harlots, whore and harlot churches are and their members are? What do you think their opinion is going to be of this message when he's beginning to reveal that?
Right.
If you go to them and ask them, "Hey, what do you think about this end time message? What do you think about William Branham, what he preached?
Right.
What do you think about what we believe?" You know what they're going to tell you.
Yep.
Right? That's right. So why would we go ask them? Really? We're going to go ask them, people who's got a life that we can see doesn't even match the word, but
right.
we're going to ask them about, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
We don't do that.
No.
As I said a while ago, furtherance of our walk can only come from the Holy Spirit quickening
right.
the word to us.
Amen.
The book of Revelation exposes that. And so you know what their advice would be. If you ask them, they'd say, "Get away from that. That man's a false prophet. That's lies. That's this and this and this."
Yeah.
What are they saying? They're saying, "Hey, we can be saved too. We're Christians." Just like I said that because the other day, whenever the Korah and them stood up with Moses, we're all. Well, you know what? Those people were blessed because of the message that Moses had brought, and yeah, they were a blessed people. But only because they were holding true to that message God sent.
Right.
And the minute they started questioning and jumping against the message, then they became a cursed people.
Right.
And I'm showing you through this morning that this is the sequence, that you come into contact with truth, and then you have to be tested for that. Right?
Right.
Right. And then what you do in that test determines what happens going forward.
Right.
Amen. So the book of Revelation reveals that. And so when that book of Revelation opened up, what did it say? You know, we're all like, all right, we're going to, here it is. This seven sealed book is going to be open and it's going to tell us all how we can get right with God. And we would think, all right, it's going to open up and here's what it's going to say. First seal, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop committing adultery, stop gambling, stop doing these kinds of things. That's the idea of the world, right? That's the world's idea. But it wasn't that at all. But when he opened it up, and you look at all the seven church ages, he did not once say, I have somewhat against you because you drink or you smoke or you gamble or whatever. But if you look at the theme, the thread through the whole entire seven church ages, the thing he was hitting at right there every time was, you're letting that false system come in. You're letting that woman Jezebel come in and seduce my servants to cause them to commit a fornication, which at the end will be destroyed.
Right.
That's what you're allowing. Because here's the thing, if you will believe his word, if you'll believe the right thing, God will cleanse you from all that other stuff, the attributes of sin and smoking and of unbelief and all that. He'll cleanse you from those things because once you believe the right thing, it gives you, you're walking in light, it gives you access, the Holy Spirit comes in, he will clean you up, stop you from doing those things, but you've got to believe the right thing first.
Amen.
And in our day, believing the right thing is not just believing that Jesus hung on the Calvary for you 2,000 years ago. That's part of it.
No.
But you've got to be, he's got to be a live, living word for today.
Amen. Right.
That's what it has to be.
Right.
Amen. So when it came, that's what he was hitting at. What is he trying to do? He's just trying to get his people to stay with his word. Stay with that revelation. Stay with that light as it unfolds through the ages.
Right.
As the light moves, go with it. Don't settle down and denominate and make a tradition. Keep moving with God as he keeps moving.
Right,
man.
And that's it. Remember, he's the creator. He's the advancer. Man cannot advance. We just have to double down and say, well, this is who we are, and build up walls. You know, when you have life in you, you don't have to worry about death coming in and trying to get you because you got life.
Right.
Right? You don't have to worry about it. Just live.
Right.
Can't harm you because you got life.
Amen.
Long as you embrace life, you have life. Amen. So, the thing he, you know, the seven church ages, you know, the names of the seven church ages, Ephesus, relaxed, Smyrna, bitterness, Pergamos, thoroughly married, Thyatira, dominating female, Sardis, escaped ones, right? Philadelphia, brotherly love, Laodicea, rights of the people. Now pay attention because this is exactly the way Satan will take your life through.
Right.
Your experience, if you let him, you'll make the same mistake the churches did. And keep in mind that as all that happened, God did have a small church in there that did make it through. Right?
Amen.
And so, the thing that he revealed there was how Satan came in and made it powerless. And the way he did it was that he got the people to relax from the word. Right? In other words, what he got them to leave their first love. When you're in love, your heart is on fire. You don't have to manufacture nothing. It's burning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You are just, you know. But when that cools off, listen, when you're on fire, Satan ain't nowhere to be found. Don't even bother. They're in love with the word. They're in love with Jesus Christ. Don't even bother. Just give it a little bit. Because he knows the sequence too. He knows that flame has to be rekindled every day. You've got to keep lighting, keep lighting, keep lighting. Same fire from previous age to the next age. You got to keep, in other words, that word's got to stay alive. And as it's moving, you got to keep. Listen, my wife loved me when we got married. She loved me now, and I've changed a whole lot. She's still loving me because I'm moving. I'm changing, and she's still loving me. Right? Christ changes.
The gospel changed. We got to keep moving. And so the thing he would fight against when the Revelation, the book of Revelation opened, it starts out with the seven church ages. What is he doing? He's identifying the two spirits within the framework of the church. He's showing you history-wise how that Satan moved in with that false spirit. Right? Remember, when you get the true revelation of the two spirits within the frameworks, withstand it, you become invincible. This is what the book of Revelation, this is the end time, the whole thing. It's to reveal to you how to recognize those two spirits, recognize the true spirit of God and the one that's false, and then withstand it. Why? So that you don't fall for the same lies. And so he Satan comes in and make him relax, and when you relax from the flame, now Satan can come in. Because he's a void filler. He fills voids. He'll come right in, and when you fall away from the word, bitterness begins to come in. I'll say it this way, because the sisters probably could identify with this. As long as you're in love with your husband, you're on fire for him, you don't mind washing his clothes every day. You don't mind making three meals a day for him. You don't mind all the chores that comes along, right? You don't mind this and you don't mind that. You don't mind, right? Because you're on, you know. But as time goes on, when that flame begins to come down, you know, the prophet said it should never go away. You've got to fight to keep it. Because life has a way of stealing that from you. And this is not about marriage counseling, but it fits, okay? And so life has its way of doing those things, of making you. And if that flame, that life is not there, she can begin to say, why? I worked myself to pieces, to the bones. Why? And bitterness, she can begin to despise doing the things. Now think of this. Having to do all the physical things, physical work, physical compliance, to do this, this, and this. Doing those things happily when she's in love, but whenever now it all begins to fall, now she can begin to be bitter and despise. You understand what I'm saying? See? It's this. See, God wants us to recognize those two spirits. He wants us to recognize how Satan comes in with another spirit to try and make you think that's a better way when it's not. And he does that through deception. So we become bitter. And so when that happens, then the thing to do when you begin, that's the time when you begin to get tested. Then that's the time that you gotta that flame's gotta be rekindled. Because if it's not, if you don't rekindle that flame you want you had, if you don't do that, Satan's gonna make sure that something else goes in there and takes its place. And so if you don't stay with his word, I'm going to help you get this, because every one of you fighting this now. Yeah. Satan trying to get you to cool off from what you once believed as truth and once was stirred your heart and what you love so much that you got baptized and you're going to run with it and you believe it. And now he starts and time kicks in. And this is the test as it comes and you begin. Now you have to be able to question these things. You have to be able to look at it and say, is it right? And you have to be rekindled as truth. And if you don't do that, Satan will come in and replace it with something. And what it gets replaced with, so much of the time, is some other something that you say, well, yeah, I once did this, but now this is what I am. Something less. And so what you find out is then you start marrying into something else. That's the third age, marrying. And you'll marry into that, and the scriptures are showing you by the fourth church age what you've married is a dominating system, church system, belief system. You've pulled away from the word and now believing something. And you'll find out once you through the third age, third cycle, if you don't replace it, when bitterness comes in, tries to come in, if you don't rekindle that, then it'll be replaced there with traditions. something else that you'll start, well, I'll just be this way and I'll become comfortable in this, and we do this and we come to church and this is our cycle, and know that life's not there.
Right?
And so many times, this is what happens when women, they'll move right on, and so they're bitter against their husband or husband against their wife, but they keep trucking right along for years. Knowing that magic gone. What's happened? Down inside, they've married something else. And now that something dominates them. That's right. So right now, when Satan comes to you today and says, I don't know about that. What do you, then you know you're in the test. If you are like not happy to serve God, not happy to come to the house of God, then you're in that stage. And Satan wants to move in and take advantage of that weakness. Pull him back away and questioning this and questioning that. Well, was Brother Branham right? Is the Bible right about this? Begin to say, I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. There's people that believe in this message and that went out and that's what they've said. I don't even know there's a God anymore. What happened?
Right?
Right? The flame they once had, they let cool off. They failed to rekindle it the next day, the next church age, whatever, in your life, your next stage of your life. And so then something else comes in and Satan takes over, and the last state of that person is worse than it was before they ever heard the gospel to begin with. That's right. Amen. That's what happens. But if God can keep you in the Word, if He can keep you in the light, keep you believing the right thing, then you have access to that blood and He cleanses you from all sin. But when we let tradition take the place of that flame, and we start serving God just simply because we come to church and we do all these things like that. He wants you to do those things, right? But those things have to be done by a flame within.
Right.
Right? He wants, and so, but people can do those things all the way up to casting out devils and do it without the flame. Follow me?
Right.
And this is how it happens. Do it without the flame, the love. It's a love test. It's the bride of Christ. He's testing you to see, are you that one that will live throughout eternity agreeing with Him?
Right.
Amen. And so, if He can keep you in that Word, but then if we start letting traditions have preeminence, and I say that because if you know the message, how that He would reveal Himself in Christ, and then get preeminence in His church. But church is supposed to have the Word preeminence in the church, but then they replace that with tradition, then they're not building upon the rock, they're building on sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the end of that church system, at the end of the ages, He has to say, depart from me. At the end of the ages, when the final storm comes, that system has to crumble because it wasn't built on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Though it was religious, it even had signs and wonders in its midst. Amen. If we can just stay with the Word, He will make us an invincible army.
Amen.
He will. So, the end time revelation, as it begins to come forth, it's revealing these things. It's revealing the history of the Holy Spirit in His church. And by doing that, by a vindicated supernatural ministry at the end, God pointing back and revealing, this is what my Holy Spirit was doing in the first age. This is what I was doing in the second age. This is what I was doing in the third age, third church, all the way up. By Him, with a vindicated message saying, this is what I was doing, then the people in that age who were underneath that and knew that that life of the Holy Spirit was in them and caused them to live what He reveals at the end time, they know that's their name being called.
Yeah, right.
He's not calling, you know, Tim or Tony or Daniel or whatever, but He reveals the life of those who live that revelation for that day, even if they didn't know it.
Right.
I heard it, you know, like when Jesus went down into the bowels of the earth and lift up ye gates, ye everlasting gates, and everlasting door. Let the King of Glory come in. And they come in, and Ezekiel says, I recognize Him. He's that wheel that was in the wheel. When they looked up and saw Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David said, I know who that is. Because I had that same anointing on me when he was being rejected and stood over Jerusalem crying. I recognized that because I stood over Jerusalem, see? And so the Spirit of Christ was in them. And when he came and he lived the things he did, he was calling them out of that dimension. And so when he went down in there and he come, they recognized their portion. And then when he took them out with him. And I'm going to tell you here, I don't have time to get into today, but the shout, voice, and trump that happens with rapture as he's descending, doing all those things, and as he descends from heaven into this lower place, we look at that and we catch it and realize, that was me. That was my life.
Right.
Right.
Luther said, that's my life. And when he leaves here, he takes us with him, just like he did when he went there.
Right.
Because they found themselves identified with him.
Yeah.
Amen. And this doesn't happen just because some man comes along and says, I'm going to teach these things. This happens because of a supernatural event that God brought to prove that he was calling them names out from those other dimensions, including this one here. Amen.
Right.
And so, he's calling our names by revealing, by revealing his life in the church. And by revealing the true life in the true church, automatically, you know, the rest of them are out. Just by deduction.
Right.
Because they have all kinds of other manifestations. They didn't have the same spirit. They were the ones that were killing the people. But here's the people had anointing God on them. They were sacrificed. Right?
Right?
Luther, he had the spirit of God, and he was protesting Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was the one coming against him, right? So it is automatically, when he begins to bring this message, they're not going to like it. But we love it. We love Revelation. Right? I say that humbly. Not to make ourselves anything, but just to say God has shown us truth. So the end time revelation, as the book of Revelation begins to unfold, but as this end time message begins to unfold, it's showing us what those two spirits were. Most outside of this, they don't even hardly know that there was an evil spirit in the midst of them. To them, yeah, we go to church, we have this, and so God will accept us. No, he won't. If you've left the word, he won't. Right? So, amen. He wants to show you the two spirits within the framework of the church, and don't miss this, to show you the two spirits that was in the church ages, how Satan attacked them, but also in your church, how he wants to come in and do the same thing here in you, right in this church, and how he wants to come in and do that to you as an individual. In all cases, to get us caught up in tradition and something like that and get away from the flame. That's what he wants.
Right?
Right? Amen. So, we've got to be able to recognize that. And of course, as the quote says, recognize it. By God's Spirit withstand it, you'll become invincible. Satan will not be able to have much success with you. Doesn't mean he won't fight you, but you're just not going to fall for his lies anymore. Why? Because you have come into contact with the person of the word that was to be brought in this end day. The person of Jesus Christ, your husband. So as you look at the sequence, as I already said, relax and bitterness and becoming married to a dominating female. Satan comes at you the same way and tells you, relax. Relax from your first love that you had when you were baptized. Let bitterness come into your experience, and I already talked about that. So it's okay to question. See, God doesn't want you following after and living something that you're not certain of.
Right.
And it's okay for you to, because the scripture tells us, try the spirits, test them to see if they be of God, right? For many antichrists have come out into the world, right? So here we are at the end time. The best way here at the end time to test it is because test it with the word. Test it with the revelation that God has shown down through the ages, what it was and how it was working. Test it with that. And if they reject that, then you know, right? The prophet said one time, he said, you know, whenever you're talking to someone and they start ranting and raving, predestination, all these different things, you know, serpent seed, denying all that. He said, you know predestination is off right there with that person. You know that person, because in this hour, God's people are anointed to believe that word.
Amen.
That has been revealed. Amen.
Right.
Not a message of previous days, but to believe the word for this day. Man.
Right.
So, it's okay. God wants you to dig.
Right.
He wants you to ask questions. I got to know more about my Lord. He wants you to ask questions. Be hungry. Seek for answers. But don't reject the word. Right?
Right.
Don't reject the word. Be careful of the source you go to, because you know, listen, would anybody want to go to CNN and ask them about what's truth from this Bible?
No.
Right? See what I'm saying? If you want to know more about God, you've got to seek God.
Right.
And you'll never find what you're not looking for. Yeah?
Right.
You gotta seek him if you want to find it.
Right.
You've got to go into this word, looking at this word and saying, God, I'm not going to take man's idea to vindicate your word. I'm going to take your word to vindicate your word.
Right.
I'm going to take what you have shown to be truth as proof, because you vindicate your own word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let that be my criteria of how I investigate this to see if it's right. Right? But it's so easy to turn to other sources. That's what we like to do, because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as much struggle. When we turn to tradition, tradition makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel safe. Well, we do this, and so there, it's fine.
Yeah.
But God's way is to fight, struggle,
right,
gain, you know, seek after him.
Right.
That's his way. And so, Satan wants to come and make us slack off and become bitter and then marry into some unbelief system. And now you're married. Now you know, oh, I shouldn't be this way. I know I should still have the flame in my heart. I know I should, but, and you just let yourself. And next thing you know, now you're married. You're hooked up with something and you can't walk away from it easy. See, in God's Bible, when you marry, you can't just turn around and walk away. Think about it. See, there's all these physical things, but they mean something physically, but the most of what they mean is the spiritual implications.
Yeah.
That when you spiritually marry up to an unbelief system contrary to the word, you can't just walk away from it.
No, right.
And this is why the preacher stands up here and pounds his fist on the desk to warn you, be careful, don't take something in that you're going to burn for something you're going to marry. You can't reverse a birth, right? Unless something dies.
Right.
And when you marry something, you cannot get away from that unless you die to it or it dies to you. And God's the only one that can legally take the life of a person or a system or something. He's the one only one that can do that and not get in trouble.
Yeah.
You do it, you get in trouble.
Right?
Right? And so you get hooked up with something and now you can't get free from it. But God can get you free from it.
Right.
Because the rest of the revelation shows that after you come through Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira, and now you got that, you're dominated, married to that dominating belief system that won't let you free. The very next church age is, hey, there is such a thing as when God gets a hold of you and begins to bring revelation to you, to Luther, as he begins to get a revelation to you, you can be an escaped one. You can escape from that. Why? But in order to escape from it, you have to die from that very thing that you hooked on to. I'm just telling you that if Satan has hit you and got you to believe stuff contrary to God's word, and you may feel like there's no place that you can get free from it, but I'm telling you, the gospel says you can be free from those things. You can be an escaped one.
Yeah.
Right.
You can come out away from those things and be free from it. If you live being just by your faith, you can be free from those things, but you can't still be married to it.
No, right.
It's got to be dead. It can't be divorced because it'll still come back.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing. Once God gives you a new birth, once you are married to Christ, That other thing, he won't marry you if that other thing is alive.
No, right.
He's told us not to, so he won't. So if you know, if like I hate my past, I hate my sins, I hate the then marry him. And he'll make sure that when you marry him, that all that stuff is dead. And once it's dead, you don't have to worry about it coming back no more.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Memories of it might be there, but it'll never rise up out of the grave, because in order for it to do that, he'd have to resurrect it, and he ain't going to do that.
Right.
Could you imagine a man who falls in love with maybe a woman who's a widow, and he marries her, and then he wants to go and try and resurrect her old husband? God ain't going to do that.
No.
See? But my whole point is, you can be free from these things, but the only way to be free is to get back into building upon the Word, building upon the revelation. Amen. And so he shows that through the history of the seven church ages. He'll show that through your own life. This is God's pattern. It's there. You see how Satan comes and works in your life to do those things. And the revelation of God's word is there to set you free from anything that you have, you know, what he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, right? At that time. Did you know that as long as you're not come to that yet, you can be forgiven of your iniquities? David said that. Hey, blessed is the man who God will not impute sin, whose their iniquities, he don't charge him for that. Under what? Under belief of the word.
Right.
And so, when you know that you can be escaped ones, and then you can move on from Sardis to Philadelphia and have that brotherly kindness come back in and move into your heart, and then bring you right on up into the last age where you can be baptized into the very presence of him into your life.
Amen.
Not just gifts, but the person Jesus Christ, who has come to rapture our bodies, rapture us into his presence. You know, I can say, I wish I didn't have to say this to you, but I have to, because it's God's way. Each one of us have to start out and then be tested, and then and pass the test, and then be sealed into his kingdom. That is your test. Amen. And so when you begin to feel yourself cooling off, don't accept traditions. Don't replace something else where God should be. Don't look for something that's comfortable, but look for something that's right.
Right.
Amen. If we don't hold to the word, then our hearts will be filled with compromise. Amen. As I said a little while ago, these traditions—they reach all the way up into Pentecost and even into the message. Some people living legalism, living according, and but the flame is not there. Even to the point of casting out devils. Even to the point of casting out devils and doing mighty prophesying, doing mighty works. People put so much emphasis on that. They will say, "Oh, look, we get this, we do that, we do these things, and so we must be right." But Jesus said, don't rejoice. Don't rejoice because the devils are such to you. Let me tell you what to rejoice. I'm going to tell you something to rejoice in that's much greater than the fact that devils can be subject to you. You rejoice because your name.
Amen, that's right.
Your name. Let me say it this way. You rejoice because a revelation has unfolded at the end where God has shown you your name is on that book. And
yes.
That's more important to you than anything else.
That's right.
That's your message. That is it.
Amen.
That's the thing that's more important. Amen.
Right.
Satan has every pickup line in the book. You know what a pickup line is? I was over at Service Merchandise years ago, and I was waiting for him to bring something out on their little conveyor belt that I had bought. No, it was Sears, I think. I was waiting for him to bring something to me. And there was a worldly attractive young lady standing there waiting for something. And there was a guy sitting there in the chair. They obviously didn't know each other. They was total strangers. But this is how this guy sitting there, he says to that woman standing there, he says, "You sure look fine today." I'm like, you know, but that's the way to do, you know, pickup lines, trying to impress her. And you know, Satan's got his pickup lines. And he's not going to come with something that's a, takes the, he's, no, he's going to come with something that's going to lure you. Well, maybe this isn't right. Maybe I believe wrong, or whatever. He has these pickup lines. And he has them, and he comes every day with them. Satan comes every day saying something to try you and to test you, trying to get you to let down on the word somewhere, some little place he can get a little pry bar in. And well, if you can just get that crowbar in that little bitty spot, you can go ahead and pull that 2x4 out. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Just if you can just, and so he just looking, and I've been times where I couldn't get a crowbar in there, and I couldn't do nothing about it. Right? But he just wants to get little, just a little bitty something. There won't be any harm with questioning this part of God's word. But he gets in there, and so he comes every day with that, and he's, you know, just, you know, Christianity, just relax. It's not supposed to be this hard. Christianity's folk, you're not, it's not supposed to be this hard to serve God. I mean, he knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
He'll tell you that. Oh, you know, this uphill climb, you're just having to row against the current all the time. That's not what God meant. That's what he'll tell you. Just relax. Remember the first stage? Just relax. Amen. You don't have to follow all these things. All this stuff that they... You don't have to do that. God knows your heart. You know, those things are just man's interpretations or just... That's just, you know... What does hair have to do with serving God? What does apparel have to do with serving God? Why does it matter how you're baptized as long as you're baptized? What does that matter? Yeah. Why does it matter what kind of? Why would it matter what kind of music you listen to? As long as the words are Christian lyrics.
Oh my.
Yeah. Why does it matter what the source of a tradition is? As long as you got Christ tacked to it. Why does that matter? Those things matter.
Come on.
Right. These are the things, and people who in that fall for it.
Right.
Falling for that. And I'm just saying to you that at the end time, that's the responsibility is to say, hey, look at how he works. Look at those two spirits. And he's trying to cool you off and make you lukewarm, powerless, formal, where you don't have the flame of God in your heart. You think he doesn't come at me? Or at Brother Daniel? Absolutely. But you see, every one of us has to go through an exodus.
Right.
Amen? We all have to go through an exodus. We all have to recognize that we were in sin and in bondage. We have to recognize that God has sent a messenger, a prophet, to take us out. Right. Moses, you know, because it's an exodus. So there is a prophet that God sends when there is an exodus. And we're in our third exodus now, because the first one was out of Egypt, right? Nation out of a nation, right?
Right.
That was Moses. And then Jesus come along, and he has the second exodus. He comes along and he takes a church out of a nation, out of a people, takes it and makes a church. And then here at the end time, he sends another prophet, and the prophet at the end time, through a third exodus, takes out of the church a bride. Mm-hmm. Right? All right, and so with each case, he sends a prophet messenger. Christ was a prophet messenger,
yeah,
right?
Amen.
He happened to be all of God. And here at the end time, a prophet messenger to bring us out. And so we have to recognize that message, and it will take us out, and it puts us on a journey.
Right.
See, there's more to it than just say, oh, I believe God. It puts you on a journey, and you've got to recognize, I'm on a journey. There are decisions I have to make, and I can make wrong decisions that can make me wander in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right? I have to make decisions. And then eventually after victory, you come to your promised land. Amen. How's all this happen? The way it happens, by staying with God's word, by staying with Moses or with Jesus or with the prophet of this day. And we know that with each of those, There was, with Moses, there he brought the people out, but then there was Joshua who took them on in. And so Jesus would bring them on out, but the Holy Spirit would take them on in. Right? And here at the end time, then this has to happen. A prophet messenger, that has to go into the face of Joshua to take us on in. And when Joshua took them in, he placed them. And here, as the prophet says, here at the end time, we have to have another Ephesus coming in. Because why? There is a third Exodus. There's a messenger. It's going to take us, and it's going to take us out of denominationalism and right into placing us into positional, placing us in the Word, who we are, what we are, what position in the body of Christ we are. And that's happening right now. That's what this end time message is. And come to reveal those two spirits in the framework of the church. And amen. To positionally place us so we know I'm not part of that harlot system. He's drawing me out of it.
Right.
Amen. By following the Word. Amen. So if you can see an end time message, this end time message, there's many things you can see. Once you see Christ had a bride mystery in him, and that bride mystery began to come out and be lived through 7 ages. And with those 7 ages, there were 7 messengers, 7 stars. If you can see that sequence, and know that that's real, then the entire Bible opens up, because there are scriptures and stories and passages there in the Old Testament you cannot touch until you understand this.
Right.
That 7 church age unfolding and God coming at the end of that, there's so much that unlocked. And that is part of the revelation of the 7 seals that God has brought.
Right.
It opens all this up. And so we can clearly see what Satan did from the Garden of Eden all the way up to now. And you can look out and see it just as plain as can be now, how it's trying to work through the churches, even trying to work in our own lives to draw us down and compromise. Uh-huh. Amen. Oh, but there is a reward waiting for those who keep with that Word. You can see it all through the Bible and through history.
Right.
I mentioned Wednesday night on the last page. We're trying to run down here and finish here. I mentioned Wednesday night when I was talking about heroes, and I read the scripture there in Isaiah 63, where the Lord said that he was coming with his garments dyed red, and he said, "Who is this that cometh, and what is this that's happening?" He said, "Well, I'm, you know, treading the winepress." And we know treading the winepress is at the end time, Book of Revelation talks about it, that his garment was dyed with the blood of his enemies. Right? And so he comes and he says, For the day of vengeance is in my heart. This is the day of vengeance. And the year of my redeemed. So now you know the year of redeemed. He's talking about the year of Jubilee. The year that all of God's people who had gotten in bondage or whatever, he sets them free and they get to go back to the original thing, the original inheritance they had given them. And by the way, we have an inheritance that was given us from the foundation of the world. We come into this world all messed up. But in our Jubilee, he's going to let us go back to that in a rapture.
Yes.
And so he's sitting here and he's saying, this is the day of vengeance. That where I come and I bring vengeance upon all the enemies, and I set my people free in the year of redeem. And so so he's speaking of the day of the Lord when he comes. And the prophet says that when John was caught up, he carried to the end time, and he was carried to the day of the Lord, when the Lord's going to have his way. Okay? And so we identify that to be this day with a message. And in this scripture in Isaiah 63, he's saying, it's time. It's the day of vengeance. I'm coming now. I'm going to avenge my people. And I am going to return them back. I'm going to give them a rapture. Let them go back to the original inheritance. This is the day year of my redeemed. It says year.
Yes.
And he said, I'm coming to do that. And he said, and I looked and I marveled that there was none with me. Nobody could come. Nobody. I had to do it myself. And I mentioned that Wednesday night where who's worthy to open that book? And nobody was found worthy. Even Isaiah 63 shows you, I'm coming to bring vengeance upon the earth and redeem my people. And in that hour, a cry goes forth, who's worthy, and nobody can come and help. So I did it myself. That's what he said in Isaiah. And that's okay. Nobody can do it, but he did. So what I'm trying to show is that ties it directly to this end time, the opening of the seven seal book. I'm coming to redeem my people, and that's how I'm going to do it. And in that time when I come to do it, I make a cry, what person, what creature, what denomination, who can come and open these seals, and nobody can do it. Now I'm saying all this. Where was your Methodists and your Baptists and Catholics and Pentecostals, and where were you and I when all that time come? Where were we when that cry come forth? You say, I didn't hear it with my ear. No, but that cry went into every realm. It went into heaven and earth beneath the earth, right? It went out and it cried, and none of us could answer. This plan of redemption could not move forward until that Lamb opened those books. That seven seal book. Right? And he had to do it himself. Happened in our day.
Yep.
And I've been thinking about it. I know you've seen this before, but you know, in March 17th, 1963, when Brother Brandon was standing there, and I think it was a breach message, but he was standing there and he's going over this. We've talked about this before. You've heard it. He was going over it. He said, the cry went forth. He said, you know, most sublime thing in Scripture, this Lamb coming, be able. And he says, and nobody was found worthy. And he gets all anointed, and he says, my, maybe I'm just a feeling this way. But maybe I'm just feeling this way, but let him come forth. And you realize, this was just before the seals was open, those 7 nights.
Yeah.
Right? Here the prophet is, and he is preaching that breach, and he's approaching that, and he's like, well, if that Lamb's about to come the next night and begin to open those seals, then this cry has to go forth. Right? I was marveled that nobody was able to be with me. So that cry had to go. Can any denominational system, can any person come and do this? And we all had to say, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Then shouldn't we try to really hang to what did do it?
Yeah.
Right? So he comes, and so... Brother Ram says, my, maybe I'm feeling this way, but let him come forth. And this is, you know, I believe that Brother Branham, he acted out that very scripture right then. He was that one to say, who's worthy? And the scripture said that went into heaven and earth and beneath the earth. And so, hope you don't get lost with what I'm saying, but when Christ begins to open these things and using a man here on the earth to speak it, when he begins to open these things and he begins to reveal what Luther's day was, because he's laying claim on Luther, that sermon, that event unfolding has to reach into the realm where Luther is in order to claim Luther. Luther's got to hear that and say, that was me.
Right.
So when this prophet did that, said, my, maybe I'm feeling this way, but let him, that whole week, that whole thing was being preached, and it was a multi-dimensional thing going out because it was reaching into those other realms, touching those other people.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so, no denomination, no one else, but an end-time message where the Lamb opened the seals could do it. And so, in Revelation 5, verse 2, when it says this happened, it says a strong angel with a loud voice. And then in Revelation 18, an angel with a great power and a strong voice. You know that Revelation 18, that's the one where he says, he comes along and that voice begins to cry. Here's what he cries. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Amen?
Right.
Great was the fall of it. Why? Because it didn't build on a rock. In the scriptures, when it repeats,
yeah,
Babylon is fallen,
uh-huh,
emphasizing, great was the fall of Babylon because they didn't build on the word. And that includes
right,
Protestant churches. I mean, any system that pulls away from the word, amen.
Right.
And so, he said a strong angel with a loud voice, a strong angel being a messenger, a ministry that's not just in a corner, but a ministry that reaches the world. A strong voice, a strong ministry that the whole world can hear. Right? Said, who's worthy? The prophet, that whole message that he over and over throughout all those years, that was what he was trying to say. This religious system is fallen. Right? Can anybody come do that? Nobody can. He thoroughly vindicated to this world. They could not open this book to make it live and make it produce what it's supposed to in this hour. They couldn't do it. And neither could he, but the Lamb could. But that same angel standing there, Revelation 18, and says with a loud voice, Babylon is fallen. It is fallen. Amen. And what does he say? Think about what the prophet's message was. It's fallen. This religious system has fallen. And it has become the habitation of devils.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Babylon. Harlot. Whore church. Harlots. Churches. Right. They're supposed to have the Holy Spirit in there. But they have become the habitation of devils.
Amen.
Oh, you mean these precious people? Yeah, people are precious in the sight of God, but when they hang to something that's contrary to the word, it makes a different story, right? He cannot. And so it has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Do you think they're going to like to hear that whenever they hear that?
No.
Right? You know, birds are anointed to fly, so they're anointed too. They can fly. They can have things, signs and wonders and different things. They're right, but they're not eagles and they're not doves.
No.
Right? And so it's time that everybody just get back to seeking God for what he's doing. Seeking God, who is his word. To be hungry. Follow after his truth. Let him come in and discern the two spirits that's trying to work in our own lives. Fight those things. Because he will make us an invincible army. And take us in a rapture.
Amen.
This is his year of the redeemed. But, remember, I'll send you Elijah for the great and dreadful day. Great for the believers, a dreadful day for those who aren't. This is the day of the year of my redeem, but it's also the day of vengeance. It's all happening right now. Right now, a message going forth that's calling his bride into that body change and preaching to the lost. Right now.
Amen.
Let's bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, because of this word, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to stand here on this earth in this hour and represent you. Lord, you never promised that it would be an easy walk. You said it would be a narrow pathway. That means that there's not a whole lot of fellowship on that road, just a few stragglers who believe your word. But Lord, you did promise that you would give us victory as long as we stayed with your word, as long as we built upon the rock. And Lord, I pray that be what goeth out more than anything this morning, what's sealed in the hearts of your children, is to test these things, try these things to see whether they're of you, Lord. And Lord, if they're you, it'll always draw us to you, to the word, to Lord, a life not of confusion, but a life of joy, a life of liberty, a life of trials, but a life of joy, a life of victory each day, knowing that you are our portion. Lord, I don't want to mass up great things in this world. As we were speaking this morning, we see that the feathers are being pulled out of the nest, Lord, because it is your desire that we not be comfortable here. So, Lord, help us to see those things. Help us to recognize those trials to be what they are. That they are you
getting us ready. Lord, that our time on this earth is just almost complete. We love you, Lord. Ask that you bless each one in that way. In Jesus' name. Let's stay in the worship for just a little bit.